It was pretty crazy. We had like champagne guns. Everyone's shooting each other with champagne guns, which was quite fun. I may have been hanging from the ceiling at one stage. I don't know how I ended up doing that. But,
eat your heart out, Sia. It's lights out.
And welcome to the Cut to the Race podcast. It's an unusual one today because we're recording at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday, which doesn't normally happen, which means, Matthew, it's a little bit of a strange time for you, isn't it?
Not a strange time, just one I'm not used to seeing with my eyes open in the morning. It is 5 a.m. here.
Poor you.
But you got to do what you got to do. You can sleep when you're dead. You can't podcast when you're dead.
Indeed. We have Emma on the show. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. It's really sunny again here in Glasgow. Yay!
I feel we do need to report that every time because it's so rare that we need to.
It rains too much up here, so when the sun's out, I'm a happy girl.
Good, good. Well, I'm glad you're happy today. I am too. We've got Callum, who had a power cut 5 minutes before we started recording this. How are you?
I'm going to need some cardio training, I think, off our guests, because I'm knackered now. The amount of times I've just run up and down the stairs is ridiculous.
And we do have a very special guest with us today by the name of Michael Italiano. How are you, sir?
Hey, Ollie. Very well, guys. Thanks for having me.
Where are you in the world today?
I'm in London. It is sunny today. This is nice to see. So, yeah, sunny London today. Here for a week before I head out to Portugal.
Lovely. So for our listeners that don't know who you are, well, first of all, you're probably listening to the wrong podcast, listeners, but for our listeners who don't know who you are, can you please summarise yourself in one sentence?
I'm Daniel Ricciardo's performance coach, so I fly with him all around the world and make sure he's fit and firing for every race.
Thank you. Start off by just telling me, how did you guys first meet and how long have you been working with Danny Ricciardo?
I've been working with Daniel professionally for 4 years now. We met, I think, at a very young age. I think we met through mutual friends, probably about the age of 12 or 13 when we were teenagers. I didn't see him much because I think he left Perth, Western Australia at the age of 14, 15 to pursue a Formula One career. So he left and went to Italy and started racing in some of the World Series there and kept winning, which was nice. So he kept progressing So I'd only really see him once a year. So, just kept that friendship there and, yeah, known him since 12. And we became, I guess, in business together since 2018, start of 2018.
Okay. You say you've been working with Daniel for 4 years. Obviously, before that, you were just a personal trainer, I'm guessing. How did your life change once you partnered with Daniel and started working with him? And I don't mean in terms of career, I mean in everyday life, because obviously you must have just started traveling the world everywhere. I bet that was a big change.
It was. It was a huge change. The way I got the job was quite funny. It kind of just came to me as a bit of a surprise. He just randomly asked to catch up in December, so at the end of 2017 season, coming back. He usually comes back to Perth in December just to see family and friends for Christmas. And we caught up for a coffee and he asked if I wanted to travel the world with him. And Daniel being a joker, I thought he was absolutely having me on. And so I gave him a bit of a smart ass reply back. And he was like, no, I'm serious. So the reason why I say that is because that was like mid-December and then he's like, oh, by the way, I need you in Europe mid-January. So when you say the life transition, Callum, I didn't really have time to think. It was like I got 4 weeks to move my life from Perth to Europe. So that was just crazy. So that was hectic. And then it probably didn't sink in till, geez, I reckon probably like 2-3 races in, it started to really sink in. My life changed obviously dramatically, you know, going from a normal routine every day, waking up, 6 a.m. clients, at the gym all day training clients to living out of a suitcase, not knowing where I'm going to be the next 7 days. It was quite mayhem.
Do you think that was designed by Daniel so you wouldn't have a chance to back out? He's just like, this is what you're doing. Pick now.
Yeah. I obviously didn't read the disclaimer when I signed the contract. Didn't realize how many flights I was gonna be on for that year.
Just free sky miles out the yin yang. You know, talking about how Daniel's kind of a joker and, you know, I can only assume mayhem it is working with him. You know, what are some of the key moments, the funniest moments, the moments you look back on and go, how did we get away with that? Or that was a good laugh.
Yeah, that's a good question. Okay. So one of the most, I guess, funny moments or good time moments was definitely Monday post Monaco win in 2018. So, yeah, probably won't go into the finer details, but that was an all day, all night party. And we did some ridiculous things we got quite carried away. So that was quite a fun experience itself in Monaco.
Come on, you got to tell us something.
They're going through, like, what can I actually divulge from this? They're like, oh, that'll get us locked up. That'll get us locked up.
Yeah. I think we're at a beach club. I forgot. I think it was called Anjuna. Yeah, Anjuna Beach Club. And it was pretty crazy. We had, like, champagne guns. So everyone's shooting each other with champagne guns, which was quite fun. I may have been hanging from the ceiling at one stage. I don't know how I ended up doing that. But,
eat your heart out, see ya. Yeah.
I think if I say any more, I'm probably going to get sacked. So I'll leave it there.
I tell you what, I've been watching you guys, obviously, like everyone else, on the Instagram and things like that. And one thing that just makes me laugh is when you two dance and you just put on the tunes and you dance. Now, I'm not sure if you've ever seen Michael, but we remixed one of your dances with Daniel Ricciardo when you were at Renault, and we put the Boyzone theme tune behind it. I'll send it to you. But what I think is different is you guys are just pure mates and you can see it and there's no faking it. And I think, you know, that really comes across in what you do.
Yeah, and exactly. There's no hiding it. We are mates. And Formula One being such a high-pressured environment and you're in it from March to December, there needs to be times where you can unwind and just be a boy, if that makes sense. Like, you know, like there has to be times, you know, even at the racetrack where you just got to have a bit of fun and just unwind a bit, because it can just be so intense and you can kind of lose yourself a little bit if you're, you know, within the F1 bubble. So, yeah, you know, there'll be random times we're in the room and, you know, we've got, you know, someone flickering the lights and then DR's all of a sudden dancing and I'm like, oh, well, you know, I might as well just join now. So, and yeah, so that's kind of where we're at. It's... There's a lot of that.
There's a lot of people that probably don't regard Formula One drivers as athletes. So can you just talk us through how tough it can be physically on the driver and why it's really important to be race fit?
Yeah. I guess I'll tackle the first part of your question there, Emma. I think the people that say that Formula One drivers aren't athletes, I think, one, they're probably not educated enough on the sport itself. And two, they're probably associating racing with their day-to-day driving, right? Like driving to work and maybe going, you know, 60 to 80 miles on the freeway and braking at your traffic lights, where it's completely different, right? So if people are thinking that, then that's something that I guess I'll try and explain to them. But if you guys jumped in an F1 car and we were going down a straight and then we slammed the brakes, I'd probably say 10 out of 10, all your heads would be in your laps. I don't think you'd be able to even withstand the G-force that these guys withstand. So to give you some, I give you a bit of a clear picture, G-force is what the drivers experience when around the racetrack. So when either they're braking, turning or accelerating, they have a helmet on, which creates more weight. And, you know, some corners can be up to 5G, which equates to like 35 to a 40 kilo dumbbell being pushed against your neck, the side of your head. So, you know, you can imagine that force being pushed on the side of your neck for 2 hours around a racetrack. It wouldn't be comfortable. And yet you're still trying to drive the car as fast as you can and hit the perfect line. So there's no room for error with these guys. You know, it's a bit different to football or rugby, where you can kind of have a rest when the ball's in the opposite court, in the opposite side, or, you know, there's a drinks break. There's no drinks break for these guys. They literally have to be on for 2 hours. So, for me, these guys have to be super fit. You know, from a cardiovascular perspective, they're fighting the car constantly. So there's so much tension going through the body. So they have to be fit. There's studies out there that show, you know, as soon as onset fatigue kicks in, your lap time starts to really decrease. You know, and so that's one thing that you want as an athlete, is to obviously delay the onset of fatigue as late as possible in the race, because that's when your lap time will start being affected.
That's actually a genius way of putting that, is the weights. You know, we all hear about the forces, but it's hard to really grasp what that means when we hear 5G lateral. You know, that's brilliant. Thank you for that.
No worries.
Looking at your website, you know, you work with a very, very broad client base. You know, you've got musicians, footballers, cricketers, professional snowboarders, rally drivers, on and on it goes. Who's your biggest name drop, you know, outside of Daniel Ricciardo? You know, the one that you either worked with or that reached out to you that you kind of went, okay.
To be honest, like, obviously Daniel was my number one priority. So I work with him full time, and a lot of other guys is just on and off type of work. Or if they need my advice, I'm always there for them. But, I'm a big Gang of Youths fan. So when Dave, Laupepi came to me, the lead singer, and, wanted some advice, I was all for it, man. I was like, damn, let's do it. I love my music. So that was pretty cool.
Like a barter system, abs for some merch going on there.
I was gonna ask for some vocal lessons, but my singing sucks. So
you've been at a number of F1 teams now, following Danny. Which one was the best atmosphere?
I mean, right now I'm only two races into McLaren, so that's a bit irrelevant. And then also with Renault, we're in a COVID pandemic for 75% of my time with them. So I guess the obvious choice is going to be Red Bull, because life was normal. Red Bull parties are awesome. They host really cool events every race. So that first year as well, maybe because it was my first year in F1 and it was so hyped up, and Daniel also won two races that year. So that year was very fun. So yeah, you could say the Red Bull brand is very fun. And that was definitely a very, very memorable year for me for many reasons. But I think COVID affected my experience with Renault, because we obviously couldn't do as much. And obviously McLaren, I've just started. But each team's got their benefits, I guess, and their positives. But I did have quite a lot of fun in 2018. So.
Without getting you into trouble here, do you think McLaren are going to top that? Because obviously we're coming out of the pandemic now, and they look like a pretty cool place to be at the moment, don't they?
Mate, they are. I think they can. I think they're an awesome brand. I think they're an awesome team, and they have a really cool marketing team. So I think they can match it. And I reckon they can too.
Well, let's see a Zac Brown party. Let's see how that compares, shall we?
I'm all for it.
We're going to have Michael train Zac Brown to where he can hang off the chandeliers.
No comment.
who or what inspired you to become a personal trainer? Did you have, like, pictures of Arnold Schwarzenegger on your wall as a kid? Or?
Good question. I didn't really have a role model that influenced my career decision. Funny enough, coming out of college, I was a bit of a lost soul. I didn't really know what I wanted to do, and that's, I guess, one of the biggest struggles. You know, being a student is, you know, you're supposed to have figured out your career by the time you finish school, which I think is completely false. You know, I'm still trying to work out my career. You know what I mean? So, I actually started studying civil and structural engineering. So I did that for 7 years. And I was in an office, you know, 9 to 5, just a regular job. And what kind of changed my mentality, Callum? I was always into sport and fitness. So I was competing in Aussie rules at the time in Australia. That crazy sport. I like when everyone just nods their head and smiles when they hear that. But I actually read a book called Rich Dad Poor Dad from Robert Kiyosaki. It's a financial book, right? It's a finance book, and I read it just to purely learn a little bit of basics on finance, because again, something that you don't learn in the school curriculum is, you know, how to handle your money. So, but I got a massive life lesson out of it. You know, he talks about the fear of not actually pursuing something that you're passionate about. And I finished the book and I was like, geez, what am I doing? Like, yeah, I'm in a comfortable job and I know what I'm doing and I'm good at it, but my passion is in health and fitness. And so that was kind of literally, Callum, I just flicked the switch, literally. Like, as soon as I finished the book, the next day I signed up for a course and boom, there I was, just ongoing studying to be a coach.
It's amazing you said that, because I read that book about a year and a half ago. And then probably 6 months later, along came the Formula Nerds. I hadn't actually put the two together until you've just said that. It's honestly, if all our listeners, if you need to change your life, give that book a read. And no, we don't get any promotion from it.
No, I don't know Robert personally. I wish I did.
Yeah, me too.
So we all know that Daniel really loves a good pre-race playlist. He's really into his music, and I know that you are as well. Do you have a sort of like workout playlist? Because I know that when I'm in the gym, I have like a gym playlist. It's mainly all sort of 90s old school dance music. But do you have like a kind of workout playlist that you like to work out to?
Yes, I do have a workout playlist. However, if I'm working out with Daniel, I'm not allowed to have control of the music. He's the boss.
Really? So <it's fine. laughs> I've listened to some of Daniel's favourite music. Yeah. I'm not a fan.
I provide the Bluetooth speaker, and then he's like, okay, turn off your Bluetooth. Now it's on to me. I think the only thing I get bossed around in would be the music department, I think. But yes, I do have a workout playlist, but I only get to listen to that when I work out by myself.
what's the first track on it?
You know what? I'm going to click it right now. Okay, here you go. I Miss You, Thundamentals. So love my Thundamentals if you have.
Yep.
And then a bit of Casbo. What else we got? RL Grime, a bit of Griffin, Kygo, Petite Biscuit. So yeah.
Varied.
Who the Child. Yeah, pretty varied. Griffin, but then Daniel's very, very varied. You know, sometimes come race day, you know, he wants to be pumped up, so he will have some heavy metal or metal. Other times, like the race just gone in Imola, we're driving in on a Saturday, and he was quite relaxed, so he played Taylor Swift Exile.
No way.
I love about Taylor Swift. Love it.
I wouldn't have predicted that.
That was nice, just driving through the Bologna Valley and just listening to Taylor Swift. It was quite picturesque. It's quite a scene.
That one wasn't on Instagram, was it?
No, maybe we should do that.
Like, I think it's like the playlist for ADD. There's no way you could put that on shuffle and know what you're going to get if you went through.
Okay, so obviously you met Daniel 3 or 4 years ago. You started working together. How did you know what to do when it came to training the neck? Because obviously the neck is a big focal point for the drivers. How did you know what you were doing?
Good question. I didn't know what I was doing. So what I did, I leant on Daniel initially. So Daniel obviously had particular exercises or routines coming through his junior years and also through his Red Bull junior years as well, that he adopted and that he was used to. So we worked with that for the first year whilst I kind of gave myself some time to do a bit more reading and some research. And I end up getting into contact with a very, very knowledgeable professor here in the UK, Dr. Don Gatherer. And he has a GS harness, which we now use for the neck. It's a very, very safe and efficient harness for training the neck. So now we have adopted a bit more of my style of neck training, which has been great because Daniel's taken it on board, and which is something that we have now progressed to. So yeah, to answer your question, it's a good question, Callum, because it was kind of something that was more of a generalized approach to me. I kind of got into F1 and I was like, wow, I've trained a couple of motorsport athletes, but not a Formula One athlete. You know, there was a lot of questions I was asking. So it wasn't just about the neck, but yes, neck was a major, major part of that. But it was also, there was a lot of things about like heat acclimation training. So how to get these guys accustomed to very, very hot climates. So like Singapore, Abu Dhabi, Budapest, when they're really, really hot races. So yeah, there was a lot I had to play catch up on.
One of the things that struck me going through your website and your Instagram and your socials and, you know, getting some research done about you as a trainer and you, aside from Daniel, it's just inundated with celebrity and normal people, you know, endorsements. And it's all positive. And you have a very positive tone and a very uplifting message. And anytime you post or share anything, you know, what is it like to look at all these people you have impacted in such a tangible and meaningful way and go, I did that, or to see somebody turn their life around for the better and realize that because of your efforts?
Yeah. Thanks, Matt. That was a nice little compliment there. I'll take that. To be honest, that's my main motivation. And that was the number one thing that is why I started, right? So, you know, never forget where you came from. And when I first started out as a personal trainer, my number one goal was to change these people's lives. And as soon as I started doing that, it honestly, it's priceless. And you can see from the feedback when you actually put effort in and you actually care for your clients, you can make a really big, big, significant impact on their lives. And that is literally my main motivation and one of the whole reasons why I love what I do. So that's also like, yeah, it's something I'll always do. And it's something that I always will care about. And yeah, it's something that I'll never get sick of. It's very humbling to hear the kind feedback that I receive, and yeah, it kind of just, like I said, it motivates me just to keep working harder and keep becoming a better coach, because you know we can always improve.
So we were at the British Supercarts last week, and I'm sure you're familiar with supercarts. These things are ridiculously fast and wide open and on the floor. And we were interviewing one of the drivers there, Samantha Hempshaw, and I said, I'm interviewing Michael Italiano next week. Help me sound intelligent. What should I ask him about being a racing driver and training? So what she said is, obviously, F1 drivers, they do a huge amount of fitness, as you do for, you know, driving a supercar as well. But at what point do you let the body recover and rest? Do you do that a day before the race or do you not?
Yeah, good question. So a lot of people think being his coach is all about train, where it's actually the opposite. And it's actually something that I thought my job would entail when I first started was, okay, we're doing all this training. So I went and, funny enough, went and periodized all these programs for an entire year and realized it was so irrelevant once you actually start getting into the calendar. So pre-season, all right, we're on. We're training once or twice a day. We're getting super fit. We're preparing for race one. But once you're in the calendar season, you know, when you got those double headers and triple headers, there's hardly any training. There might be, you know, we get off a flight and we tick the legs over on a spin bike just to get the blood flowing again. Because when you're up in the air, you know, you're sitting down for a long time, you can be a bit stiff. So we might just get to the hotel, do a bit of stretching and just tick the legs over and get the blood flowing again. But the main emphasis is usually recovery throughout the year. So sleep, supplementation, nutrition, and just obviously trying to battle jet lag, because jet lag is a big, big barrier for these drivers to try and keep them in peak performance on the Sunday. So, yeah, to answer your question, recovery is probably the number one thing that we emphasize on throughout the year. You know, if we have a break in between races like we did before Imola, I think we had 2 weeks off. Obviously, then we have a nice training block because he's got 10 days. But yeah, when you've got back-to-back races or triple headers, it's all about recovery.
Have you ever had any other drivers, you know, maybe Daniel's teammates sort of getting on the phone to you saying, can you come to my side of the garage and help me? Trying to poach you from him, maybe?
No, there's as far as I'm aware, there's no poaching going on. I think all us coaches have a very close bond and we all know each other. We talk and we respect each other because obviously we all have similar passions and we're all doing the same job. And, you know, so there's always an automatic sense of respect there for each other. So as far as I'm aware, there's no poaching. I haven't been poached by another Formula One driver. Good. sneaky question, but yeah, it's warranted.
So this last year, the gyms have been closed through lockdown because of the pandemic. I have missed being at the gym. I've had to do a lot of, well, I've had to try and find some online workouts, and it's actually been quite difficult for me to find something that really suits me, mm-hmm. And my lifestyle and my fitness. But do you think there's like a difference between gyms and online workouts? You know, what's the sort of like pros and cons to each? Because obviously it's been a big thing. Like online workouts have become bigger and bigger over this past year with the gyms being closed. And the gyms are reopening in Scotland on Monday. But I actually am now thinking, well, if I can find the right online workout for me, I'd rather just stay at home and do it. So, you know, is there sort of like a big difference between sort of gym and online workouts?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's one of the, probably the main question that the fitness industry has handled the last year, right? I think what the benefit of what COVID has exposed to the fitness industry is showing people how diverse you can be from the comfort of your own home. You know, you don't require much equipment to stay in shape. And so that's been a positive, and that's something that I've tried to endorse through the pandemic. You know, I've put a lot of in at home body weight programs out there so people can use them. I've done a lot of free 30-day fitness challenges on YouTube, which is all body weight. You can literally do it at the comfort of your own home.
Yeah, I've just started the Dare to Dice one. I was knackered yesterday. Absolutely knackered yesterday.
Well, yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think I did the one before that, Chase the Ace. I was doing that in like my Bahrain hotel room, you know, so people like to realize that you literally just need like 2 meters of space and I'll make you sweat. You know what I mean? Like, so I think the benefit what is definitely showing people and giving them the realization that you can do a lot from the comfort of your own home or even on your lunch break at a park if you're at work. So I think that's one of the benefits of home training and knowing that you can actually maintain your fitness level from the comfort of your home. The benefit of a gym for me is the morale, the energy that a gym brings. If you're part of a gym, you know, a good gym brings a very strong community. You know, you know the coaches, you know all the members. So when you get there and you're starting a class or you're starting your workout, you have your gym buddy there, or you have people around you that are like you, right? They're trying to achieve a goal. They're, you know, you might walk in a bit unmotivated, but then all of a sudden you've got old mate Harry over there who's your mate and he's absolutely smashing it. And you're like, you know what? I want to match him. And so you can bring some energy from that gym, where at the comfort of your own home, it's very easy just to sit on your laptop all day and just go, should I get up and just do a workout, or I could probably just keep working. You know what I mean? So you can get stuck in a bit of a rut at home, where a gym brings that strong morale. And obviously you have a coach there if you need it. But I don't have a preference on either. I like both. I think both have a very, very important part to health and fitness. Obviously, it's very convenient if you're time restricted to do things from home. And me and Daniel have done all our training from home in the last year and a half, and he has stayed in peak condition. So that's proven itself that you can do some really, really good things from the comfort of your own home. I think Matt Fraser, like what, 4 or 5-time CrossFit champion, he just always trained at his home gym in his garage. So there you go.
When you, in normal times, let's forget COVID times, but in normal times, when you're booking into a hotel for a race weekend or whatever, I assume most of the F1 personnel are in the same sort of place. Do you go into the gym in the hotel? It's like, right, there's Alonso on one machine, there's, Lewis Hamilton on the other, and is it just a big paddock of the drivers in there?
Yeah, just a bunch of sweaty F1 drivers. And F1 coaches is just pointing the finger and telling them what to do. Yeah, it is. It says it's quite funny. It'd be it's quite a cool gym, cool environment to be around as well. Yeah.
You know how if you go in the gym, there's always that one guy that's on his phone at like the Smith machine or something like that. Can you imagine the level of whinge there must be in that gym with like Alonso telling Lando, "Oh, I want the elliptical." I can only imagine the level of bickering going back and forth as well.
Yeah, maybe I get there early and just set up a GoPro in the top corner.
Oh, please do it. Please.
I would watch that. I would watch
we can
that.
Get Attenborough to commentate over that. George Russell enters and removes his shirt to show his dominance.
Has Drive to Survive helped business? Because obviously I see on your website you actually provide programs to even people of my ability, which is zero ability. So has Drive to Survive actually helped that? Because I even found myself looking myself, you know, after I saw one.
Yeah.
I didn't do it because I'm lazy, but, you know.
No, you're bang on, Callum. Yeah, obviously Netflix has helped, I think, everyone in Formula One. You know, I think Daniel's profile has escalated quite a lot in America, and we've noticed that every time we go to America, he's getting, you know, we could walk the streets before, where now he's getting tooted and stopped. So yeah, Netflix has definitely helped business 100%. I've got a nice global community going, which is amazing. And I'm continually trying to grow it and show people that my style of coaching can definitely help, and it's definitely not the norm of coaching. You know, I do take into consideration a lot more lifestyle factors than what maybe some of these apps do. So yeah, Netflix has definitely helped. I guess there's a positive and negative of that. You know, like they're like a fly on the wall. They're always there. So like, you know, sometimes you don't want a camera in your face, but it's there. So, you know, that's the negative, but the positive is, like you said, there's worldwide exposure there.
Talking of Netflix quickly, when Daniel said the famous intro of Netflix are a bunch of, aren't they? Did you just go to him and you, oh my God, right, did you see that come in? Was that as just off the cuff as it looked?
Yeah, it was completely random. I mean, Daniel can't like... You should see half the things he says to Netflix. You're lucky those haven't been to you. that's one of many of lines that he's dropped. And to be honest, I actually forgot about that until they actually launched it, because obviously that they're with you so much and you say so much, you just forget what you've said. And I actually forgot that bit until I actually watched the episode.
that puts it into context of how much he must say then if you forgot that bit.
You've got a Facebook coaching group, which I am part of, and it's now got about just over 2,000 followers. So tell us a bit about the group, why you sort of set it up, and what you want everyone who's part of that group to sort of take away from it. Because something that I'm really loving about it is the food themes. And as much as I did try and have a go at making a smoothie last week, I tried to make a virgin pina colada and then just thought, this doesn't taste right. Put the rum in it instead. Just drank it as a cocktail.
You should have just taken the photo and just rum to the ingredients. I would have sold me.
I was like, oh, it's the weekend, just do it. So like, it was actually really tasty. I loved it. But I'm making a halloumi salad today and I am going to put that on the group because I love a salad. Well, I love a salad.
You've just told everyone now, Emma, so now you've got some accountability. So yeah. but yeah, look, to answer your question, it kind of goes back to my last comment about your gym v home, where I talked about that gym presence of having that strong community. So that was kind of where that idea came from, where I was like, well, if I'm going to build this online platform, I want all these members to be able to interact, or people of like-minded, where they can interact as a community and, you know, share each other's success stories or struggles, and, you know, team up and find a fitness buddy, you know. So, which has been amazing. Like, I don't know if you've seen it, but yeah, like there's girls like jumping on Zoom calls together and doing the workouts together. There's people like, you know, commenting in there, asking for motivation, and then people are just, you know, sending through their good vibes. And so that for me, that's what a community is all about. It's, you know, so that's kind of the main reason why I did that, is so people understand that not only will they have the full support of me, but they'll also have the full support of like-minded members. And yeah, it's been really cool how it's, and I'm glad you're a part of it, Emma, and can't wait to see your halloumi salad.
Oh, that's the pressure's on now. Better look good.
I mean, you want to talk about the ultimate accountability holder. You literally just told the man himself, like, I'm doing this today. So, Michael, you have full reign to just, like, get in her inbox and be like, hey, where is it? What are you doing?
I'm going to.
West Brom.
One of the things that really touched me going through a lot of the testimonials and the comments and the feedback I found is, you know, you espouse mental health as much as you do physical in a lot of your socials. How crucial a component of any fitness routine, regime, you know, life change, or even reaching a goal, do you feel that mental aspect is? And how can we cultivate that through the lifestyle changes that you're trying to implement throughout the world?
Yeah, I think it's number one, because in my mind, if your head's right, your body won't be right, and you won't stick to anything, right? So, which
suddenly
is why
my fitness makes a lot more sense. You said if your head's right.
Well, is it because like everything ties in, right? So this week I'm actually launching like a lifestyle quiz on my website where you take the quiz and it breaks down like you said, your nutrition, your mental health, your struggles, and your fitness barriers. And it kind of just breaks it down into a package. And then I give you my recommendation on what you should do from there. So it kind of ties into what you're saying there, Matt, where if your headspace isn't right, nothing's going to work. And that's just me from experience as a coach, but also personally. Like everyone goes through phases of fitness phases in their life. You know, I think the average lifetime that you stick to like a proper fitness journey is about 3 months. So what I've noticed is people, you know, stick to a fitness journey for 3 months and then they probably find another thing to stick to, or they find another type of hobby to stick to. It's forever just an ongoing cycle. And what I've noticed in my own personal side is when my head wasn't right, I didn't achieve great results. I didn't train well. I didn't train consistently. But all of a sudden, it's when your head's right, all of us, it just feels easy, right? And then people are probably saying, well, how do you get your head right? Well, the one thing I do with my clients is I ask them to find clarity. And clarity is, what is the reason why you're going to wake up and pretty much take my advice? So if I'm asking you to eat this and do, and you know, exercise 3 to 4 times a week, like, Matt, why are you doing it? And Matt, you might say, because I want to lose 10 kilos. But the real reason is, why do you want to lose 10 kilos? And it's kind of like, okay, because my partner wants to go cycling on the weekend and I actually can't keep up with her and it's actually affecting our relationship. Boom, I'll write that down. What else? And all of a sudden you've got 5 to 10 real deep, restrictions as to what's actually holding you back. And then all of a sudden I'm like, okay, well, you're going to stick this up on your room. And all of a sudden now you have clarity. So when you wake up and you don't want to put your fitness gear on, your clarity's there. And it's kind of like, okay, no, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. And that's about getting your headspace right and not actually confusing what you're trying to do. And then after we do that, Matt, we then set small goals, because okay, we're going to make you lose 10 kilos in 3 months. But 3 months is so far away. So you could wake up and go, oh, geez, 3 months is so far away, right? And that can just be unmotivating in itself. But I'll be like, well, Matt, how about this? I'll give you a 2-week goal. And your 2-week goal is to cut your beers from six a week to 2 a week. That's your goal. And all of a sudden you're like, boom, that's my goal for 2 weeks.
The goal is a massacre.
Yeah. And then you hit that goal and I give you another one. And then before you know it, we're literally at the 3-month mark and you're like, holy crap. Like this is awesome. And so finding ways to just keep that motivation and keep that drive. So that's obviously, it can be a lot more complex than that, but I'm trying to keep it simple and for you guys listening out there.
I think we can take some advice out of the paddock here, because obviously you've got motivation to train if you're an F1 driver. You know, the motivation is there every day of your life. But if you're, you know, working from home during this pandemic and you're just either you're working in your bedroom or you're working in, you know, your front room or whatever, it's the mental aspect of actually doing the fitness in the first place. But how do you think that doing fitness can, well, basically reversing it, how can fitness help your mental health?
Well, one, exercise will improve your sleep, right? And I know sleep is a big topic at the moment about how to get better sleep. So number one, if you exercise, you're going to get better sleep. And if you get better sleep, get cognitively, you're going to be a lot more fresh and focused for the day ahead, right? So that's the number one thing why health will help you. Why exercise will help your health. But also, exercise releases dopamine, releases serotonin. So it releases all your feel-good hormones. So you're going to feel good after doing exercise. It's actually going to boost your energy levels as well. So you are going to be more productive during the day, whether you think you're not going to or not, you will. I'm a big, big advocate that exercise just should be a part of your lifestyle. That's simple as that. You know, it's not a training regime. It's a lifestyle. And you know, exercise doesn't have to be a 10 out of 10 intensity. Like people have to understand that. Like, you know, for instance, yesterday I had a really, really busy day. I just jumped on the bike and did some low intensity spin for 30 minutes, you know, like it can literally be as simple and as low impact as that. But it's just about being consistent with your training. You don't have to pick up heavy dumbbells and absolutely smash yourself every day like you might see on Instagram with, you know, the CrossFitters who just maintain an insane load of volume of training. But, you know, these guys have adapted to this over time. That's what people have to realize. So, you know, it's something that me and Daniel adopt, you know. So, you know, I'm programming for Daniel for this week, but, you know, I've got some really, really low impact stuff for him because he's still trying to get over the weekend's, I guess, physicality. So I just want people to realize that it doesn't always have to be a 10 out of 10 workout.
So we know that nutrition is really, really important to reach your goals with your mm-hmm. fitness, but surely you allow yourself a cheat day. And if you do, like what is it that you're, what's your go-to food? Mine is Doritos, by the way. Chili heat wave, Doritos.
Well,
whole bag.
People might not like me here, but I actually don't believe in a cheat day. I think it's like, it already provides negativity about the whole, it's a cheat day. Or so like, even like the whole cheat meal, I don't even want to associate it as a cheat meal, because then it kind of already puts in your head that you're doing something negative, right? Where I'm kind of like, okay, this Saturday, I want pancakes and I want a lot of them, right? So what am I going to do to earn those pancakes? Okay, so I'm going to train consistently for the next 5 days, and the Saturday morning before pancakes, I'm probably going to do a heavy leg session just to earn them. So when I do eat them, one, it's not a cheat meal, and two, I've earned them. So I'm eating them, and I'm smiling when I'm eating them. You know what I mean? Like I'm proud. I'm like, I worked hard for this. You know what I mean? So for me, I'm a big advocate of, you know, everything's good for you in moderation. So, and then to answer your question, Emma, what am I going for? I'm going for a big, dirty, greasy American burger. I just love it. I love burgers, and the greasier the better. Like if the grease isn't dripping down my hand as I'm holding it, then it's not good enough.
we had Lawrence Barreto on the podcast a couple of months ago. Have you been for a burger with him yet? Because if you haven't, I think he's the man.
Really? No, I haven't. Okay.
So Matt, remind me. He's written a list.
Has a ranking system or a list for the burgers around the world, and he literally researches and does almost like a food critic review wherever he goes. The man is a burger connoisseur. So
I tell you what, I will pay you for that list.
We are the brokers of this list now.
The guardians. I have one more question on the food topic. Being the resident foodie, except for Emma, you know, on your socials, you have these amazing preparations that just look, you know, Michelin star chef quality. I have to ask it, did you cook all of those that can be found on your site? And if so, how is it fair that you're that good looking, hang out with rock stars, work in F1 and have the dance moves you do?
Oh, Jesus.
How are the rest of us supposed to compete with that, Michael?
Man, that question really went off topic.
I wasn't expecting the second half of that.
I wasn't. Yes, Matt, I cook them, but let's just be straight here, right? Like, there's a lot of stuff ups in the kitchen. I'm not gonna lie. So, like, don't think that everything I do is like perfect one hit wonders. Okay, it takes time and effort.
It's a bit like this podcast for the listeners who think that it just goes to plan. No.
I feel like today's gone to plan, though, hopefully.
Yeah, it has.
Up in at like 9:45 this morning, we were all... Matt wasn't even here. Callum had a power cut.
Michael, it's been a real journey, and actually, and I'm not just saying this because we're facing each other right now, but I think you've inspired me to get my ass into action, because I'm a bit of a Callum when it comes to, I'll do it later, I'll do it tomorrow, and you know, with lockdown and day jobs, there's always an excuse to have, and I don't think that there should be. So I think you've taken some inspiration out of the F1 paddock and brought it onto this show. So. Thank you for that. For the people who have also felt inspired by what you've said today, how can they follow you? How can they get involved and see what you do?
Yeah, so my website, www.michaelitaliano.com, that's my fitness platform. So that's a paid service. So if you want to be involved, jump on my website. I also provide a lot of content on my Instagram, so at Michael Italiano. So I provide a lot of free content on there. A lot of my F1 life is on there as well. So if you want to follow some F1 stuff, some insights into my journey into F1 as well. And on either of those platforms, you can sign up to my mailing list where I send a lot of coaching emails. And as Matt recently did mention prior, as I do talk a lot about the mental health side. So I talk a lot about self-confidence, resilience, you know, positivity and belief. So just getting people in the right mind frame before they embark on any journey. It doesn't have to be a fitness journey. It can be a career journey, you know? So I love writing those emails too.
Amazing. Thank you. And I think this podcast wouldn't be complete as you work for McLaren F1. Where are you going to finish in the season this year?
As a team or as a driver?
Both, please.
Okay. Team, I'm saying third. I think we'll finish third. Obviously, I'm going just off the two races, but Mercedes and Red Bull look very strong. I think the third battle with Ferrari is going to be very, very tight this year. I think we're going to have a really good battle with Ferrari, which I'm really excited about. From a driver standpoint, I'm hoping I'm being optimistic, but I'm hoping for like a P6, you know, a P6 or a P5 to P6 would be great. Daniel still has a lot to catch up on with the car and get used to. So, yeah, hopefully he can just keep ploughing in consistent results. And then once he's comfortable, I have no doubt he's going to go bang.
How will the 2022 regulations affect the driver's training, physique, performance? Is it going to be a completely different sort of car to drive, or is it just different car, same thing?
Yeah, good question. To be honest, it's always different because the car's always getting quicker every year. So when the cars get quicker, they experience more G-force. So whatever our PBs are last year, the goal for every year is to make sure that we beat those PBs because they're going to have to be fitter and they're going to have to be stronger every year. So, you know, because the car's always evolving, the athlete has to keep evolving. So we're always trying, or not trying, we are bettering ourselves, which is great, because, you know, there's some athletes out there that think, oh no, I'm in the best possible shape, you know, I can be. It's like, no, there's always room for improvement. And having that accountability, knowing that the car's always going to be quicker, it's kind of like, shit, yeah, you're right, I need to be better this year.
Ollie's got what we like to call a little bit of a bongo belly. The other day he was sat on the sofa, honestly, he's doing this. He's playing bongos on his belly. How do we make it so it's more of a wall sound? How do we make that happen?
Cal, you know this job you've got, mate, it's no longer.
I've actually enjoyed Callum's questions because he always has like a quick smirk on his face before he says anything. So I knew it was going to be a cheeky question. The bongo belly, that's a famous one for too much beers. Would I be right, Ollie?
Yes, okay. Yes, you got me. How did you know this?
At least five were consumed while he was playing the bongos on his head. So, yeah.
So good old bongo belly is a drinking one. So if I was giving any advice to Ollie, I'd be saying cut off the beers and get on the vodka lime sodas, and that'd be a start.
Yeah, thanks for that, Cal. I really appreciate it, mate.
I'm broken. I can't follow anything up now because all I can imagine is the different timbres that we... If you're the bongo belly, I'm got to be like either a bass drum or a timpani. That's what I'm going through in my brain right now.
Yeah, we'll start a little percussion with Matt. Okay, well, thank you so much, Michael, for joining the show today. It's been awesome. We've had a good laugh as well, so thank you for that. We wish you the best of luck this season. Obviously, you and Danny... And let's catch up in the future as well. Don't be a stranger.
No, definitely. Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it. And I've done a couple of podcasts, but it's good to have one where we can just have a bit of a laugh. So I really enjoyed that. And yeah, happy to speak to you guys whenever you'd like. And obviously keep the update on the bongo belly, please, Ollie.
I will. I'm going to go and tell my fiance now that you're my personal trainer for the wedding. So yeah. He's given me all the advice I need. Stop the beer.
Thanks, guys.